Well, good morning, Dunbar family. Good to be with you here today. I am glad that I get to be with you here today. For those of you who don't know, my name is Dave. I'm part of the team here, and I get to watch over our youth and young adults, and our young adults and are always with us here in the service, but our youth get to be even more in the service, so because we're on a bit of a summer break with you. So good to have our youth here as well. So if you missed me last time when I was up here, I shared that we're going to do kind of like a little mini series in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're only looking at one chapter in the Bible for three different times when I'm up here during Pastor Wes's sabbatical, which is 3 months, but we're halfway through. Can you believe we're already halfway through Pastor Wes's sabbatical? He probably can't believe it. Now here we are, we're going to dive into 1 Peter chapter 1, and I wasn't actually expecting this passage that I chose many weeks ago to be so relevant even to me in my own recent grief, my own kind of very felt grief at losing a family member. So this passage really spoke to me and has been really healing and pouring out over me, and I just am so grateful that I get to bring that to you as well. So we're going to be looking at just a couple of verses in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and we're going to focus on, of all things, the impact of troubles and trials in our life and faith. And in just a moment, as we open up our passage, I would love for us to be listening for actually something we've been talking about and singing about, this great hope that we have, even in really hard things that we would call trouble or trials. And I want us to ask just two simple questions in our text today. In the midst of these sort of experiences of painful trials or troubles, what can keep me steady? What can keep me steady in life and faith? That's our first question. The second question is, what can give me purpose? Even in trials and troubles, what could actually give me purpose, maybe even to move me forward in life? So, with that, I would love it if we'd open up our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's kind of towards the end of your Bible. Bible apps are great. And if you don't have a Bible, you can grab a Bible. It's in a kind of like a little pocket in front of you, the kind of basket in front of you. And would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word today? 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Give praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth and a living hope. This hope is living because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He has given us new birth so that we might share in what belongs to him. This is a gift that can never be destroyed. It can never spoil or even fade away. It is kept in heaven for you. Through faith, you are kept safe by God's power. Your salvation is going to be completed. It is ready to be shown to you in the last days. Because you know all this, you have great joy. You have joy even though you may have had to suffer for a little while. You may have had to suffer sadness and all kinds of trouble. Your troubles have come in order to prove that your faith is real. Your faith is worth more than gold. That's because gold can pass away, even when fire has made it pure. Your faith is meant to bring praise, honor, and glory to God. This will happen when Jesus Christ returns. Even though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You are filled with a glorious joy that can't be put into words. You are receiving the salvation of your souls. This salvation is the final result of your faith. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I know this might sound like a bit of a heavier message. It is a little bit, but there is joy. I don't know if you even heard in the passage, joy is actually repeated. So we'll get there. So troubles and trials. So right in the middle of our passage here, we get a bit of a reality check, don't we? When we follow Jesus, even when we follow Jesus, life can get really hard. So what are we talking about when Peter writes about troubles and trials? Troubles and trials. Let's look at verse 6. If you have a Bible, you can keep that open. Look at verse 6 with me. Even though you may have had to suffer for a little while, you may have had to suffer sadness in all kinds of trouble. Another helpful translation, some of you may have this one. Though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So what are we talking about here? In the original time of this letter, if you remember, Peter is writing to a scattered people, right? People who are outsiders, people who are different than the culture that they live in and are often misunderstood or even persecuted for their faith. In other words, people who are actually seen as Christians. And because of that, they're hated or resented for following Jesus and living out their faith. And it's sometimes because of acts of love and service and loyalty, like seeing abandoned babies and taking them into their very homes. And so they make the very selfish culture around them actually kind of look bad. And like I said last time, if you were here, they also had many things in the news of their day, just like we do. War and sickness and death. So perhaps you can relate to some of those same things. Maybe feeling like an outsider or alien. Feeling a bit scattered in where you live, or even mentally and spiritually a bit scattered. Perhaps you, like many of us, have made some choices in your life and faith that have actually caused you trouble, right? By saying no to something that you don't agree with. That's actually maybe caused you some trouble or trial. Now, just for some examples, it can actually cause trouble when a student gets an assignment that goes against their views on maybe identity or sexuality or morality. That can cause trouble, right? It can cause trouble for many of us when maybe there's all these choices at work that you could do and you make choices that are impacted by your faith. And people look at that and go, well, you should spend more time here. And we're like, I need to spend more time serving and being with my family. So perhaps you've experienced some of those trials or troubles yourself, the experience of that. Now many of us, and I'm sure for many of us, we've experienced the troubles of sickness and sorrow and death. And many of us are impacted by troubles in the world, whether it's something that seems so far away, like a war that's so far away, or something that's so close and intimate. But it still feels so painful to see all their children who are experiencing such damage and destruction way over there. It still causes my heart trouble. And we could stay all day long on the list of trials and troubles, both our individual lives and out there, right? We could do that. I don't want to do that. So when I'm talking about trials or troubles, what comes to mind for you right now? Now, many of you know, I'm naturally thinking of the loss of my brother. And also my family's complicated relationship with God and Jesus. And faith. And today being Father's Day, even just sending my dad a message and a picture of my flowers, because he loves flowers, realizing, oh, my dad is experiencing such trouble in his own heart because of the loss of his son. It troubles me. What are you thinking of? Now, it's evident these troubles affect us, don't they? How do these troubles affect us? What do they impact in our life and in our faith? Well, here and even in our passage, it's actually Peter speaking to how these troubles can be potentially devastating, laying waste to our life, our faith. weakening or even withering the good things that we have in our trust in Jesus, this trouble that can cause us great grief and great sorrow. Peter is being very real with us. The real life following Jesus is not just some ideal out there, right? Trouble came to Jesus. Trouble came to Peter, who wrote this letter. And if you could imagine, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Imagine the trouble that was caused in his own heart when he realized he was denying Jesus, when that rooster crowed. Now, when I ask that question, some of you don't have to imagine very much at all. You've experienced or are experiencing real trial or trouble. Either something really strong, right? Something right now, or something maybe a bit more hidden that many people may not know about. But trouble is real, and Jesus insisted in John's gospel that in this world we will have trouble, right? It's unavoidable. So I think it's really helpful to engage with our questions. So if we are going to have trouble, what can help keep us steady? What could even give us purpose in the reality of unavoidable troubles? Okay, so that's the heavy part. I know we need to get to that heavy part. But here's where we're getting more into the gospel. What can keep me steady in life and faith during these things? Let's start by looking at verses 3-6 to find the anchor for our souls, even in trials and trouble. If you've closed your Bible, you can open it back up again to verse 3. And it starts with praise. Give praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth, revival, if you may notice, and a living hope. This hope is living, alive, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He has given us new birth so that we might share in what belongs to him. This is a gift that can never be destroyed. It can never spoil or even fade away. It is kept, guarded in heaven for you. Through faith, you are kept safe, guarded safe by God's power. Your salvation is going to be completed. It is ready to be shown to you in the last days. Because you know this, you have great joy. Now, I know we looked at this a little bit last time if you were here with me, but I wanted to highlight just a few things for you again. Peter is grounding us in beautiful and powerful things. Do you notice? Worship, God's mercy, new birth, this revival, right? Living hope in Christ, a gift or inheritance from God. What are you maybe hearing so far in these verses? We've been talking about trial and troubles that threaten our life and faith. Can you hear, can I hear the anchor, the eternal and sure foundation that keeps us steady? Now, for a moment, there's so much here, but let's just focus on the way living hope and our gift of inheritance brings us a steady and sure ground for faith, a steady and sure ground when troubles feel like earthquakes or tsunamis, or even just hidden traps. Let's start with this. Back in verse 6, listen to this. This is verse 3. Give praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth and a living hope. This hope is living or alive because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now, for any youth, hopefully they actually know this verse because this was our memory verse. We actually looked at this verse. We said, let's memorize this verse. Let's have this verse in our heads, in our hearts, in our lives. Why would we want to memorize this verse? Well, it's basically a powerful summary of the gospel. It's the love and mercy of God so powerfully revealed in Jesus on the cross, right? And we can actually focus in on the victorious resurrection of Jesus, which is ours by faith. life from death. That's not just some wish or dream. It's a living hope. Faith made alive right now and until the end of time. And I've said this before, I'll say it again, because Jesus is alive. We rise because he rose. And so you and I have a steady, eternal anchor to base your life and faith. We have that anchor. We can hold on to it. That's so good. In addition to that, how about the gift God gives to us, this promised heavenly inheritance or gift, right? Verse 4, he has given us a new birth, this new life, right? Born again, so that we might share, I love that, we might share what belongs to him. This is a gift that can never be destroyed. It can never spoil, even fade away. It is kept guarded in heaven for you. Through faith, by trusting, you are kept safe by God's power. Your salvation is going to be completed. It is ready to be shown to you in the last days. And because all of this, because you know all of this, you and I, even in the midst of troubles, can have great joy. So, as I've said, we have this new life now. It's offered to us now if we trust in Jesus, as we trust in Jesus. We have this new life, this new birth forever, all the way to heaven and beyond. So just listen to the words Peter uses to describe the sure and trustworthy reasons for our faith. I don't know if you heard it. Hear it again. It's good. This promise is indestructible. Indestructible. It can never diminish, get smaller. It can never decay, get corrupted. It is indestructible. This promise is pure. It can't be tainted, changed, ruined. No matter what you or I do or say, that is kept, guarded, pure for us. And I want you to hear this promise is guarded. I don't know if you could even imagine that. Like if God himself is saying, I'm guarding this. Nothing can get around that. It is guarded perfectly. So this promise, and just get down to it. What is this promise? This promise is a rescue and salvation right now, in the midst of troubles, in the midst of everything in life. It's right now, this is a salvation. But it's even better. It's even better in heaven. As I've said, our only thing to do with all of this is to trust and believe. That's our only role. That's our only action. It's a sure resurrection hope and a sure truth that I want to hear you. I want you and I to hear this. If we're thinking of the language of inheritance, it's something we own. You and I own this promise. It's the promises of God. We own it. It's kept for us. So we've been talking about trials and troubles. And maybe you and I can agree with what Peter's talking about here. It's like, that makes theological sense. Good. But maybe your experiences in trouble and trials have actually been really hard. I think that's the case for all of us, right? Or maybe you're like, okay, that's theoretically good, but I don't actually know if it works. Does this actually, thanks a lot for this great idea, but does it actually work? I can tell you, even just personally for myself, and for so many of the followers of Jesus, you just ask around. If we're honest, We can't actually just dismiss our troubles. Like, oh, you know, life is okay. It's just fine. Pretending things, you know, aren't troublesome and terrible, don't you think that actually almost always makes it worse? It always comes back and hits us at some point, right? By pretending it doesn't exist. So in the midst of those things, these things, whether it's terrible grief or pain in our body or our mind, or some sort of rejection or kind of socially, relationally brokenness, and often for just following Jesus, when we're in the midst of that, don't we just want something to cling to? And I know many of us, we're bright enough people. We're like, okay, you know, if I just kind of do some stuff, I just work and work and work, I can actually be productive, right? And the pain will kind of maybe go away, right? Or maybe I could just kind of cling to a friend or a spouse. That's a beautiful thing. Don't hear me say it. It's a wonderful thing. But even they can't take away all my pain. Or maybe we just want to seek to forget it, right? Maybe there's all sorts of different ways to kind of distract myself or even numb myself. And so with all these options that don't work truly, this is why we need the steadiness and trustworthiness of God in Christ right now and into the future. This hope of resurrection, the promise of heaven. Now, this is the anchor, this grounding of faith and hope. And I'd like to call it kind of a sustaining confidence. It's not just a confidence when things are going well, but a sustaining. It keeps going when we need God in our trials and troubles. And let me say, this is just a start to the answer of what keeps us steady. There's so many beautiful things that we could actually even just keep going on and on about by the community of faith and the life of prayer that we have to confess, to repent, all these powerful things. I just want to give us some grounding in what this passage is telling us, and then we can explore what that actually looks like in our life and faith as we're grounded in Jesus. So here's a few little things to encourage us to stay steady in our life and faith. How about our next question? So in the midst of those trials and troubles, what can actually give me purpose to move forward, or at least give me a reason for what is happening in my life? For this, I'd love to look at verses 6 through 9 with us. And if you've closed your Bibles, you can open them up again, and we're going to look at verses 6 through 9. Verse 6, because you know all this, all these things we've been talking about, you have great joy. You have joy even though you may have had to suffer a little while. You may have had to suffer sadness and all kinds of trouble, suffering. Your troubles come in order to test or prove that your faith is real. Your faith is worth more than gold. That's because gold can pass away even when fire has made it pure. Your faith is meant to bring praise, honor, and glory to God. This will happen when Jesus Christ returns. Even though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You are filled with a glorious joy that can't be put into words. You are receiving the salvation of your souls. This salvation is the final result of your faith. Now, there's a lot here, but how is Peter answering the question about the purpose of trials and trouble and suffering? Well, if we just look at a few things, we could kind of glimpse into what might be helpful here. If we look at what is meant by testing and what is meant by outcome, I think we'll have a better idea of the purpose of these terrible times of trouble and trials. Now, as we kind of jump back into this trials and troubles thing, I want to remind us that we have a good and gracious God. God does not just send us trouble or let trouble happen to mess us up. Trouble can come our way for various reasons, and Peter gets more into that later in the book, but trouble can come in our lives for various reasons. The world is broken. We are broken. Sin and death are the reason that Jesus went to the cross for us. And in the scriptures, it does seem that God uses troubles for our good and for his glory. Now, no one, including me, can claim to fully understand the mind of God allowing trouble to come to us. And even at times putting pressure on us, this kind of disciplining us. But here, we're offered something that the world does not have outside a relationship with Jesus Christ. They may have a few little glimpses, but only in Christ does trouble, trials, or suffering find any real and truly good purpose. So what do these verses do to help us understand about the purpose of trouble and trials, even maybe moving us forward in those troubles and trials, if that's possible? Verse 6 again. Because you know all this, all the good things we've been talking about, you have great joy. The new birth, the resurrection life, right? You have joy even though you may have had to suffer for a little while. Notice that temporariness. You may have had to suffer sadness. You may have had to suffer sadness and all kinds of trouble, various kinds of trials and troubles. Your troubles have come, says Peter, in order to prove or to test your faith is real. That might be a bit hard to take, but listen to it. These are very powerful few sentences. And just for a moment, I'd like to focus on the purpose in suffering. It is not going to cover all purposes, just there is purpose in suffering and grief and troubles and trials. So we're looking at this passage, what it has to say. The Bible has much more to say, just this passage. Now, Peter is reflecting the truth, especially that he saw in Jesus himself. Jesus had trouble, went to the cross for us. Peter's reflecting the truth he experienced himself as a follower of Jesus, as a leader teaching others to follow Jesus. He experienced the same troubles and trials. And he's writing to those who are experiencing those troubles and trials at that very moment. So these trials, he's saying, are a type of testing. And this is for all you students. It's not like school exams. It's actually more like a revealing, a clarifying, a putting pressure on or fire onto faith. I can maybe say I follow Jesus, but I've maybe never experienced or demonstrated my faith. I may actually not know what my faith is like, right? When we experience hardship in our lives, this can actually put pressure on what we believe about God. Do I only follow Jesus because God always gives me what I want? And this may sound strange, but trials can actually be a form of gift. And I know I don't like to say that, but it's actually right here in the text. It's actually got some goodness to it. It's to remind us that our faith is real, to test or examine our faith. Do we really lift our eyes to Jesus to help us in the times of trouble? Or a trial can actually show us some hidden doubts or dullness where our faith is actually maybe weakened. So examining or revealing where we truly are in our faith actually has a good purpose. But there's more. There's more. That's a hard part. There's more. And these next verses, we see the outcome or final result that can come that our trials can actually remind us of. It says this in verse 7, your faith is worth more than gold. That's because gold can pass away when fire made it pure. Your faith is meant to bring praise and honor and glory to God. This will happen when Jesus Christ returns. It's coming. Even though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You're filled with a glorious joy, even in the midst of troubles. You're filled with a glorious joy that can't be put into words. You're receiving the salvation of your souls. This salvation, this rescue is the final result, the outcome of your faith. Now, I love how Peter actually reflects back to us why faith is faith. We don't see, you and I don't physically see Jesus, but we love Jesus. And like the first hearers of this letter, we don't see him, but we believe and trust in Jesus. And so what is the outcome of this love and trust in Jesus? Peter says faith is of the highest value, more than gold, more than Bitcoin, or more than anything you can think of, I don't know, that you think is highly valuable. Faith is of more value than that. All those things will go, but a faith, a real faith, refined in the fire of, yes, trial and suffering, faith is far more precious. Why? Because Peter tells us of the purpose, the outcome, the final result. And now there are so many beautiful outcomes of our tried and tested faith, a real and genuine faith. Can you hear them? Praise and joy and salvation. Praise and joy and salvation. Remember, the context is suffering, scattering, praise and joy and salvation. That's a bold thing to say. Let me just point out that these glorious outcomes of this genuine faith are actually repeated. He said it before. He's saying it again. Clearly, he wants us to hear this. He wants us to hear this. Our purpose in all of this is to praise God more. Our purpose in all of this is to know true joy, not just a fleeting happiness, true joy of the Lord and his salvation more and more. The purpose for us is to rejoice in the fact we are rescued, saved, both now and faithfully expect more fully, even better realized salvation when Jesus returns, which he will. You see, Jesus points us beyond our trials and troubles. Totally acknowledges the reality of that, but Jesus in this gives us steadiness, but actually purpose points us beyond those trials and troubles, this hope that gets us through. Jesus gives us an anchor, yes, right in the midst of it, this living hope. And Jesus gives us purpose of our trouble. He gives us salvation. Salvation from actually, yes, all the trials and troubles and suffering and sadness and grief and sin and death. That's the reminder. We see this as a faith that moves us forward, even in trouble. Now, I want you to hear like, yeah, just get out of your trials and trouble. Just find joy. That's not what Peter's saying. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what God's word is saying. But it's giving us this picture that we can do it. We can move through. Yes, we experience it. And the Psalms are full of just straight up experiencing the grief, the pain, the sorrow. Absolutely. And that can be invited into our praise, into our prayers, into our relationships. Absolutely. But if we stay there, if we think we'll only stay there, then that'll rock our steadiness. That'll rock our purpose. And we're given here this beautiful movement that Jesus wants us to see beyond, even in the midst of things. So how might some of this be landing with you today? The message is that even in devastation, genuine pain and sorrow and trial and trouble, and maybe even in part because of it, the salvation of Christ actually triumphs, leads us through. In the trials, yes, even through the really hard and awful and painful things, we actually can be somehow, by God's grace, steady in faith and hope. And we can actually have a joyous purpose. And I know that may sound strange to us. We can actually have a joyous purpose in our sadness, in our grieving. So maybe some of you, myself, feeling some suffering in body and mind and spirit, some troubles at home or work or school, some hurts in relationships, some doubts in your mind. How might you and I hear this message of the fatherly goodness and even discipline of God? How might you hear this message of the joyous work of Christ in salvation from sin and death, even in the midst of our hurting? And that's a complicated question, I know. And I know for me, even this week, I was going to be straight with you. I am devastated by death. It's very personal. It's very intimate. I'm feeling it. I'm thinking it. It's scattering my mind. It's scattering my heart. And I'm wondering, what's the reason for such a tragedy? But I can also say this. Without the sure anchor of Christ and the living hope of resurrection that this passage has been speaking to me over the weeks and weeks I've been looking at it, without the clear purpose of the sure promise of salvation. And I want to say this, without so many dear brothers and sisters, the church that God gives to his people, without all of you and all these friends from all around the world reminding me of the love and comfort of God, praying for me and with me, I don't know if I would have any real or even imagined peace. And so I want to remind you and me of one beautiful truth as we wrap up. So how is it that we even would have this new birth, this revival into this living hope? How is it that we even have faith in the first place? I mean, I just believe. It's in my mind. Who might actually be with us in our trials and troubles and grieving and sorrow? Some of you already know the answer, right? Who is it right now, right this second, reminding you in your very core, in your very soul, of the love of the Father and the finished work of Jesus? Who's right here, right now? It's the person of the very Holy Spirit of God who gives you new birth, gives me new birth, gives us revival. It's the person of the Holy Spirit who gifts you and I with faith to believe in Jesus. It's the person of the Holy Spirit who is with you, at home in you, and comforting and caring for you, reminding you and I constantly of the love of the Father and the Son. And the person of the Holy Spirit actually sanctifies or makes you more and more like Jesus, even in the midst of trials and suffering. We'll get a bit more into that the next time I get up here to speak. So, in a time of just reflection for us, I would love to ask and pray that the Holy Spirit would empower us to this real and genuine faith that we've been talking about. This incredible hope of the resurrection and this promise of the fullness of our salvation from sin and death and even trouble. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I'd love us just to allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in us. And so I leave us a few questions to reflect on. What maybe are your current or ongoing troubles and trials that may be causing you or me to stumble a little bit? What is that that we can bring before God? What's the Holy Spirit stirring in you? And what from this passage in 1 Peter chapter 1 spoke to you about anchoring or grounding your faith even more in Jesus? Or perhaps even for the first time you see, there is a grounding. My life feels so shaky, but this can anchor me. What from this passage spoke to you about anchoring your faith more in Jesus? And thirdly, what outcome or purpose do you actually want to experience? Ask the Holy Spirit, you know what? I know this theologically. Help me experience this in everything that I am, in the very soul, the core of my being. What is it that you want to experience God lead you forward in the midst of things? So let me pray for us, and we'll just take a moment to reflect. God, our Father, you love us. You provide everything for us to be saved by sending your Son. And in love and for our good, even though it hurts, you do bring discipline into our lives, cause our faith to have pressure. And Lord, you are with us in the trials and the troubles that you so desire for us to move out of into a new and better way with a deep hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in his finished work on the cross. Jesus, we thank you that you experienced trials and troubles for us. Help us to trust that those trials and troubles can end because of what you have done. And Holy Spirit, move in us. Speak to us. Help us to know what are some of those trials and troubles that are causing us to stumble. How do you want to anchor us in faith more? And what purpose or outcome do you want to lead us through? And so we pray all of this in the beautiful, powerful name of our suffering servant, Savior, Messiah, Jesus. Amen.